The Shoresheen Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Well, shalom, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to this week's Torah Tidbit. This week, the tidbit is taken from the portion that is called Bechukotai, which means literally, in my statutes. This is the concluding portion found in the book of Vayikra, or Leviticus, and is of special interest to me because this portion is my Torah portion. In other words, this is the Torah portion that was being read the day that I was born, way back there in 1963. The portion begins in Leviticus 25, verse 3, by saying, "If you walk in my statutes, Bechukotai, and keep my commandments and perform them," and then we're going to go down to verse 9, "I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you." But as we continue to read this Torah portion, we see that what happens when His covenant people don't walk in His statutes and when they do not keep His commandments. Put simply, the result of that is death. And this portion of the Torah strikes a tone of warning and admonition. This particular chapter that we're reading from here is referred to in Hebrew as tochacha, or literally a warning. This same warning, by the way, could also be used to describe Deuteronomy 28 and 29. And so then the blessings that we discussed in the previous Torah portion, which, by the way, come as a result of obedience, are now contrasted with the dire consequences of disobedience. Have you ever wondered how people of other nations, or just people down the street, seem to get away with certain things, but we can't seem to get away with those same things? Here's how rabbinic sages explain that. They say that if a king invaded a country and the people of that country resisted, the conqueror would not punish them because they would be within their rights to defend themselves against this invasion. However, if after they were conquered, if they were to swear allegiance to the conqueror and then afterwards rebel against him, he would then be within his rights to punish them for breaking the covenant. And so we must consider reward and punishment within the context of covenant. God rewards the obedient with blessing, but He punishes the disobedient with curses. And so that there are ramifications of disobedience is a harsh truth, and a harsh truth is not always pleasant to deal with. This chapter makes it very clear that not only Israel's prosperity, but their very survival depended on loyalty to God and faithfulness to His covenant. In short, those who have come into covenant with Him are to obey and live, or disobey and die. And not because He will kill you if you don't obey, but because our disobedient actions will bring death upon ourselves. He doesn't curse us because we disobey. When we disobey, we bring the inherent curse of disobedience upon ourselves. Within this Torah portion, there is a very long list of blessings, but there's an even longer list of punishments. In this Torah portion, the blessings are given in general terms, but the curses are given in stark detail, as if the Creator wanted to provoke the people to be in awe of these consequences and thus be prone to obedience. There is something else that strikes me as I read this. When it comes to rewards and punishments, there is no spiritual manifestation that's mentioned, but always a physical manifestation. For example, obedience brings rain, disobedience, no rain. Obedience brings abundance, or disobedience brings lack. And so spiritual reward, you would think, would be an obvious result of obedience, and it's quite logical to assume that there is a spiritual reward for this. However, it's written that obedience to His commands will result in good health, prosperity, triumph over our enemies, and many other physical rewards. Some of those would even be considered miraculous rewards. One of those that I would place in that particular category is the nearness of God, even while He allows us to enjoy material rewards. Disobedience, then, would be the absence of God, while we suffer the absence of material reward. The punishments listed in this Torah portion are arranged in a series of five groups of increasing severity, and they begin with things like sickness, defeat, famine, wild beasts, siege, and exile. And we should point out that these things are not meant as revenge, but again, as a provocation for us to repent, to turn back to God. And so for that reason, these punishments are inflicted in stages of increasing severity. The intent seems to be that if the first group does not attain the desired effect, that would be repentance, then that's probably indicative of the fact that the sin is likely to become more serious. And so consequently, so will the next series of punishments. Each of these groupings that we see here speaks of sevenfold punishment. Now, there are some rabbinic sources that deem that to be a literal thing. Some say figurative. In other words, a lot or multiples, but not necessarily seven. However, it says seven. That's the number that's given, and seven is almost always used to define something as complete. I think it's important to remember that we keep in mind that His intention in these punishments is never destruction, but restoration. It's just that the restoration process is sometimes very painful. In fact, Yeshua said this to the congregation in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. In the Torah portion, the Creator said this to those who continued to walk contrary to His will in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 24. Then I also will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. So by saying this, in effect, He was warning them that unless they were repentant, He would remove His presence. And the biggest problem with that, folks, is if God removes His presence, it opens the door for another presence to come in. And that, folks, is when the curses come upon us, when this other presence comes in. But thankfully, as is the case, every time God warns His people, He also makes sure to give us hope. And He gives us a path that leads to healing and to restoration. Because He says this in Leviticus 26, verse 40, "But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness, in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies." So there's a lot of confessing going on here, an acknowledgement of our error. "If their uncircumcised hearts are humbled, and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember." And then He says this, "I will remember the land." Now, there are several things here that I believe are worthy of noting. First of all, God is always justified in the actions He takes. Secondly, by mentioning the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and thus by mentioning them, inferring their faithfulness, He stresses the enormity of Israel's sin and how unfaithful they have been. Therefore, the exile of His people from the land of promise was justified because the land of promise was given to those who were faithful. Still, God doesn't desire our death. He wants us to live. And so again, He always follows every pronouncement of judgment with a promise of mercy. Furthermore, He says that when Israel repents, He's going to remember the land, which, by the way, is part of the covenant. Because, you see, He is faithful to that covenant, to the covenant that He made with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob and their seed. And so in the end, here is what the portion boils down to, at least as I see it. What path do you wish to take? One that leads to life and blessing, or one that carries you to death and curses? God wishes that we choose life. So, I think I will too. I choose life. That's it for this Torah Tidbit. Thanks for joining me. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.